things in following how covenants are made in the ancient days, and how much of the New Testament has to do with the covenant. And why is this so appropriate for communion? Because when Jesus took that cup and lifted it up, he declared, "This is the new covenant in my blood that is shed for the sins of many." Can you say amen? He was telling them covenant still exists. Covenant continues. And it's made even stronger and better because this is a better covenant established on better promises. But covenant continues. Covenant language is found all over the New Testament. And if we don't understand those ancient covenants, cutting the covenant, where what part the blood plays in that, what part God takes in that, we're not going to understand the covenant language, plain and simple. When Jesus calls us friends, we're going to think of someone we know instead of someone who commits themselves unto us, even to the death. You don't find that kind of love very often down in this old world. Can you say amen? Amen. You know it's the truth. You might as well say amen. How many's got amen-ers? Have you got one? Let's see if it's working. Just to see if it works. You may, even if you don't use it, let's see if it. Amen. Praise God. All right. I just want to make sure that they wasn't tore up. We'd have to get them fixed. I want to read one scripture before we go into this covenant. I just want to pull it out of Psalm 25 and verse 14 very quickly. Psalm 25 and verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. One of the missing elements in so many circles today is that deep reverence for the Lord, called the fear of the Lord. It's not the dread of God, but it's the recognition of who He is. Yes. Yes. Amen? Who He truly is. The fear of the Lord, the Bible said, is the beginning of all wisdom. Amen. And they that fear the Lord, listen to this. That's that kind of reverence that lets His Word get down inside of you and takes it seriously and applies it to our life. And not a person in here will be able to take everything He said and operate it in it perfectly. There will be struggles between flesh and spirit. You will find out where your weak places are when you decide, I'm really going to walk this thing. I'm going to live this thing. Amen. We used to play that song here, I'm going to live like a believer. Amen. I'm going to live what I believe. Walking it outside these doors and talking it with one another in a group discussion about the scriptures, two different things. Walking it out involves an absolute commitment. But listen to this. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Can you say amen? And He will show them His covenant. Now, last service and the previous services, we talked about some things that happened. Number one, there was an exchange of garments. And we talked about that covenant practice of exchanging garments. And we talked about the laying down of weapons, how Jonathan laid his weapons down before David. And in a sense, he committed his all to David. He didn't have to defend himself anymore. He committed himself to David and knew that David's love for him was strong enough that he didn't have to defend himself anymore, because David now would take his part in anything that happened. And who better than David, who had just come off the battlefield slaying a giant, amen, that threatened Israel under God's anointing. Can you say amen? Amen. And then after that total surrender of one's self-sufficiency, then there's the exchange of names, when we're bowed enough before God, dependent enough on God, humbled enough before the Lord that He can trust us to use His name in prayer, amen, and not use it for some selfish or ulterior motive. Amen. The Bible said in the book of James, you ask, you have not primarily because you ask not. You don't make God your source. You don't come to God with everything. And that's a faith issue. Everybody say that's a faith issue. But even when the faith issue is resolved, that's not the only issue that can disqualify an answer to prayer. We've heard that it's almost implied that faith does everything. Amen. That faith almost stands alone out there to get everything you need in your life from the Lord. And that's simply not what the Bible teaches. Amen? It just isn't what the Bible teaches. You have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not. And faith isn't the issue. Because you ask amiss to consume it on yourself. Everybody say, to consume it on myself. When you really want something really, really, really bad, it's easy to think you're hearing the voice of God telling you that's what I want for you. And to interpret it as the will of God. Some people have wanted a woman so bad. Just got to have her, Lord. It has to be you. Amen. Some people got what they want and didn't want what they got. Amen. Amen. And it can work vice versa. It can be, I got to have that man. He's so handsome. He's such a handsome man. Can you say, man, such a handsome? Listen, handsome is handsome does. Amen. Amen. You don't just marry because someone's attractive. There's something inside to you ladies. You know what the Bible says? Said you can. You are, God made you prettier than us. Amen. And all the men said, amen. Amen. And the man that didn't say that, we'll have an altar call right after the service. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We got to see, you need some help. God made you the fairer sex. And when you fix your hair, there's nothing I can do to my hair, make it as pretty as your hair. Because God gave you prettier hair than me. And more of it. Amen. To work with. Amen. And it said it was your glory. And amen. Yeah. Listen. And it's so easy to think that just fixing yourself up. So God used the woman as the fair sex who looks so beautiful when you're all dolled up. And he says, don't let it be the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel that makes you beautiful. Let it be the perfection of your character, who you are inside. We're living in a world that's superficial. They don't much care about your character. They care about what you look like. It's such a thin veneer. And people marry, literally marry, because someone looks so beautiful. But there's a lot of trouble in marriages that are married for that. Because no one is really finding out what the real character is. And when you go through things in life, character comes forth. Who you really are comes forth on the inside. Amen. Remember that song? If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, just make a pretty woman your wife. But from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. Remember that song? Somebody looking for character. But you don't have to be ugly. You can be beautiful and have good character, like the ladies in here. And all the ladies said, amen. There are so many people I've met so beautiful on the outside, but so ugly on the inside. Amen. Now, you don't have to marry an ugly person. I married a beautiful lady, and she's still a beautiful lady after all of these years. I can pick her out in a store somewhere. I said, that's my lady right there. That's my lady. Amen. Amen. Feel that way about her. I don't tell her near often enough. I need to tell her more. But I'm telling her here and now. Amen. And we got lovely ladies in this room. I'm serious. I'm not, because if we didn't have lovely ladies, I'd say we got a lot of ladies in this room. Amen. But I can say that honestly. But what God does in the character, when he perfects us in our character, and that's what he's after, is perfection in our character. He's more concerned about your character than the charisma or the charismatic aspect of the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit don't develop your character. Amen. You know what develops your character? When you receive, thank you, Sean. Yeah, when you're going through trials, God's going to find out. Actually, God isn't going to find out. God already knows. He lets you discover those areas of your character that need perfecting. Amen. God already knows. God knew Peter wasn't developed in character. Some of them might forsake you, but I'll never forsake you. I don't care what happens, you can count on me. And Jesus turned and said, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me thrice. And he was so caught up in himself and so sure of himself and self-sufficient. Amen. He didn't even listen to a word Jesus said. That just went all right past him at that point in time. But the conditions changed very quickly. And suddenly Peter found himself denying the Lord and heard the rooster crowing as dawn was breaking. And he went out and he wept bitterly because that pressure brought out what was wrong in his character. But through that failure, God began to perfect his character. And he was so sure of himself. I'm not saying God ordained it. He don't have to. Flesh is going to provide plenty of failure for us. Can you say amen? How many know your flesh will trip you up over and over again? God doesn't have to come down and do it to get to, you know, to get you to recognize how weak you are. Your flesh will do it for you. Amen? That's why Paul said, I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. If I don't, it's going to drag me. I'm going to drag it or it's going to drag me. Amen? But the next time after that failure, he sees Jesus. Jesus begins to perfect his character. And he says, do you love me? And now when he says it, amen, it's from someone who is overwhelmed by the mercy that's being shown him. Not somebody that religiously is committing himself to love God, but someone who's coming into a true relationship with Jesus Christ. I put it this way. He said he loved him before, but when Jesus forgave him, didn't bring up what the denial, told him he still wanted him to serve him and ask him, do you love me enough to continue to in the ministry I've called you to? You love me, Peter? He said, Lord, you know all things. Now he's talking different. He's not trying to convince him. He said, I know that you know me. You know me better than I know me. Amen. And I believe something's changed in me that you can see, Lord. Because I don't deserve this. He wasn't just loving God religiously. He was falling in love with the Lord. And there's a relationship. There's a bond. And that's what covenant stuff is all about. Two people loving another enough to come into covenant together. Can you say amen? To make an absolute commitment to one another. A sacred trust. Amen. Peter is going to trust Jesus with the rest of his life and with his death. Amen? Amen? He that was afraid to even acknowledge him now is being told, amen, that when you were young, after that love commitment, Jesus said, when you were young, you were headstrong, self-willed. You went your way and you did your thing. But when you were old, when you were young, you girded yourself and went where you want. You put on your own garments. You went where you wanted. But when you are old, others will gird thee and take you where you would not choose to go. Thus signifying the death by which he would glorify Christ. Can you say amen? Jesus trusted him enough to tell him, amen, ahead of time, that you will die a martyr's death for my cause and for my honor and for my glory. And Peter went into his ministry knowing, I'm going to end up like he ended up. But it's okay, because I love him. There's power, there's strength in covenant love. It's different than this wishy-washy stuff that I love you as long as you please me, but if you fail me, I quit you. If Christ had quit Peter, Peter could have never stood for Jesus Christ. But it was the fact that Jesus loved him with a covenant love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That he began to love him back. Thank God Jesus didn't throw him away like a Dixie cup. Can you say amen? Covenant love is powerful. And it was that love that brought Peter back. And that love that melted Peter's heart. And that love that made Peter wanted to covenant to love him back. Actually, he was talking covenant language. Do you love me enough to commit yourself totally unto me and to do my will and my bidding, even though it would take your life from you for doing it in a suffering death? Do you love me that much to feed my sheep? Yea, Lord! You know all things and you know that I love you. Can you say amen? All of my life, being Pentecostal from head to foot and all in between, Amen. Listen to me. All my life, I believed that what I was taught, and that was that what made the difference in Peter was this happened prior to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but when the Holy Ghost came on him, it all changed. No, that's not when it changed. It did not change when the Holy Ghost came on him. It changed when Jesus loved him when he didn't deserve it. It all changed when someone had a covenant love for him that wouldn't throw him away and wouldn't give up on him, even when he gave up on himself and said, I go a fishing. I'm not worthy to preach. God couldn't possibly want me to do anything else for him. I'm lucky. Don't kill me. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And he saw his eyes of love. He didn't hear one word about his failure. Can you say, man, he was loved with a covenant love. And covenant love is strong. Human love can come to an end because it's based largely on emotion. When you got married, you should have committed to one another in a covenant to love. It should be stronger than just emotions that go up and down at a given time. It should be a sacred trust. If it's not seen as that, the devil can wedge any of us, none of us, including my wife and I. We don't have a storybook marriage. Amen. Prince Charming and the horse and the castle. Amen. It was Bobby and the trailer. Can you say amen? That's not exactly, amen, not getting to, when you get married at 14 and 16, you feel like you're missing something. You get, back then they didn't have throwaway diapers. They had the linen ones, and you had diaper pails, and you let it fill up. You just take it off, you throw it in the pail. Amen. You don't raise, it just builds and builds and builds. And it sits there for a week until payday. Why are you waiting to payday to deal with it? Because you need quarters for the machine, and quarters don't grow on trees. Can you say amen? We didn't have a quarter tree at our house. Payday come, you buy groceries, you go to the laundromat, and you use the quarters. One good thing about me packing that pail of stinking diapers that have sit in it for a week, You know, a child with normal BMs, amen, just absolutely, and the other, amen, a week is, it was heavy. And I would take that thing in there, and people be kind of, you know, vying for washers. I come in with my pail of stinking nasty diapers, pull the lid off of that thing. I got, everybody's backing down to the washers at the other end. I got this whole end of washers to myself. Amen. That's where we came up through. Listen, if we didn't commit, when we got saved, it got deeper. When it got saved, it got sacred. When it got saved, we covenanted to love one another. Covenant love is different from human love because human love can come to an end. When we love somebody, they do us wrong, break our heart long enough, after a while that heart begins to harden toward them, and it can stop in the human experience. I've often told you the story of a blacksmith, a short, stocky, very strong blacksmith falling in love with the tallest woman in town. So when they went out somewhere in the back of the buggy, he would take his anvil. Because he liked to show off his muscles, and he'd take his anvil and sit it in the back of the buggy. So if they got anywhere alone somewhere, he'd take the anvil out, sit it down, was his plan. He'd step up on the anvil, which made him almost eyeball to eyeball with her, and he could get some sugar. Now, I know I'm not talking about, you know, the kind you get at the store. I'm talking about that other sugar. Some of you don't remember getting that kind of sugar, but... been a long time. It's been a long time. Amen. So finally, she's never give him a kiss. She gives him a hug. But she never has give him a kiss. She give him a hug and pat him, you know, and obviously there wasn't the same attraction between the two of them. But finally, he took her to a dance. He was looking forward to it. Taking her home, and he took her home, and she walked to the door ahead of him. He run back and got his anvil, and he packed his anvil up and set it down in front of her and climbed up on it. And she started to turn around and go in. And he grabbed her by the hand and pulled her back. And he said, if there ain't going to be no kissing, I'm not carrying this anvil any further. That's it. This is it for me. No sugar. I'm not packing this anvil if I'm not going to get any sugar for it. Human love has limits. We don't carry other people very far before we just toss them off. I've been in this realm and genre of preaching and pastoring for all these years, and I'm still taken back at how easily, quickly, and finally people can quit one another after years of being together. I mean, just write you off like you fell off the earth. And then this is in church circles. Amen? In church circles. Fail somebody or let them perceive that you failed them in some way. It's very easy to just write you off. We got to do better than that if we're going to demonstrate what covenant love is all about. Jesus loved Peter with a covenant love. And what was imperfected in his character through the trial of his own self-failure and God loving him through it began to perfect that was imperfect. Peter fell in love with Jesus Christ. I love the people that talk about Paul and Paul's obvious love for the Lord that motivated him in everything that he did. I'm persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, he said, that's in Jesus Christ. And he loved him back. And I heard the beautiful extra biblical, but came down through the years, story of a man who came to visit Paul. And when he got to the representative of one of the churches, and he came to visit Paul while Paul was in prison, and he heard singing from in the cell. And there were others outside praying for Paul. And they hear this joyous singing inside Paul's cell. If you don't believe that he sang inside his cell, read the book of Philippians and see the encouragement that's in that book. And it was written while he was in prison. And here's a guy that says things like this. He says, true prophet comes to him and says, bonds and afflictions await you at Jerusalem. And that's all the prophet had got from God. He thought he was giving him a warning not to go, when really he was just confirming what to expect when he got there. So he told him, he said, bonds and afflictions await you at Jerusalem. And Paul said, I'm not only ready to be afflicted, but to lay down my life if it comes to it for this gospel. You couldn't head him off. Even if you cut off his head or threatened to. So outside this cell, there's joyous singing from the inside. And this person is taken back by a man who's been persecuted like Paul has. And he's singing praise unto God. Given 39 stripes to the Jews on 5 separate occasions. Beaten with rods 3 times. Shipwrecked 3 separate times. Was in the deep for a day and a night. That means he was in the water waiting to be rescued for an entire day and night. Among false brethren. Stoned and left for dead. In peril of sword. Circumstances where he was naked and hungered. And yet he says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And these light afflictions, which are but for a moment compared to eternity, work for us a greater weight of glory. I mean, how can you, what is it motivating and driving this man? It's got to be a deeper love than the religious brand that Peter brandished in the upper room before he denied him. What motivated the martyrs to not recant? In your book of faith in the Bible, the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, they're not just people experiencing deliverance. They're people who were not delivered and yet would not recant their faith in Jesus Christ. And they're listed, but you rarely hear of them. Samson's there. You hear everything about him. But you don't hear about these others. And they were lifted to a higher place of honor than any of these people that got all of these miracles of deliverance. When the faith was on the line, they did not seek deliverance by compromising because they looked for a better reward. And the Bible said some of them had to run for caves and some of them had to dress in animal skins and some of them were tortured. and they didn't recant the faith. What is the force, the power? Was it some kind of religious commitment to my creed, my catechism, my church? No, it was to Christ. And it was strong. It was covenant strong. It was deeper than the emotional stuff. There are preachers that know how to work a crowd, and they know how to stimulate an emotional response. Christ is not after your emotions. He knows how fickle they are, and He knows they will break down under pressure. I have come out of a church service so wonderful that it felt like heaven come down and kiss the earth, and I was right in the middle of the smack. It was that glorious. Amen. And get a phone call, amen, that just tore me up, and then be sitting there in my room in the gloom pondering doom. My emotions had taken a hit. And then you have to pull yourself up out of that old black pit. Can you say amen? How many's ever had to pull yourself up? How many know something? There are things that can happen to bring you down. You're not so up that you can't be brought down. We need times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. We need a word of encouragement. We need to help and pray for one another and bear one another's burdens. Amen. There are people you can isolate yourself from. So Satan says, you know, I got a better plan than using strangers on them. I'll make enemies of their own household, people they can't get away from. If he can find a family member that you can't get away from to hassle you, a willing agent, he will use that person every opportunity he can. He loves to use husbands against wives. Jesus said, you know, don't think that my coming to the earth is going to just bring this euphoric peace, my initial coming. It's not. He said, I come to set a sword, and I come to set it variance. And he said, your enemies are going to be very close to you. They will be members of your own household. If Satan can get she and I in disagreement, she and I coming against one another some way, he's so happy. He's so thrilled about that. We're out of sync with God now. Amen. We're not in a position to get our prayers answered, because it said, if two of you on earth shall agree as to... You know, when we say that, a lot of people don't even think of their spouse. They think of some other spiritual buddy they have. Honey, you need to get a spiritual buddy. You need to hook up with your wife and your husband as your primary spiritual buddy if you're married. Amen? That's the target of the devil's intent to divide and conquer. Amen. When I had a preacher come, and he was not only a preacher, but he taught as a professor for Bible students that were getting PhDs and everything else. He was very knowledgeable, but he had never heard. He came to our little church on a Wednesday night, and he told me, I'd never thought of it that way, because I said, when I read the scripture, if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, it will be given them of my Father which is in heaven. God desires and demands that we be in unity. And Satan knows I can't conquer them unless I can divide them. So his primary aim is to divide and conquer. But if he cannot divide, he cannot conquer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That word agree is not just agree on the prayer request. That's simple. The hard part is living in harmony with one another. And the word is used symphonically. It's like a symphony where every piece of music is being played to complement each other in perfect harmony. Remember the first time my dad plays a fiddle. Make no mistake about it, it is not a violin. He called that kind of music long hair music. Bach and Beethoven, those guys had long hair. This is pre-Beatle that he told me that. Amen. Long hair music. You don't like that long hair music. So I went to Washington, D.C. at 12 years old on a school safety patrol trip on a train to see D.C., you know, and all the other patrols all over Florida. And I was part of it. I was the only private. They had captains and sergeants. And I was the only private on the whole trip out of all the schools and in the county. Because I never took anybody in. And they made the mistake of not letting the principal pick who should go. They let the students pick who should go. And since I never took anybody in to the office for anything, because I felt bad about it, because I did the same things before they pinned that little thing on me. Oh, that the cops would feel that way when they pull us over. Can you say, man, give us some mercy? You know you've done that before. But I remember going to hear a symphony orchestra. And I thought, boring. This is going to be one big boring evening. A symphony. Long hair music. But when I got in there and they started playing, I mean, to see it live. I mean, see all of these musicians. They started tuning up, and it didn't sound like much of nothing. But when they tuned up and Maestro tapped, tap, tap, tap. Come on, Maestro. You know how to do that. We're going to get him one of those things. Amen. We were going to give him one. We afraid he'd hit us with it. So choir member said, he'll hit somebody. Don't give him one of those things. No, I'm just kidding. You've been so sweet and patient. It was hard at first, wasn't it? It was tough. Yes, it was. Amen. These are big kids. That's all they are. It's big kids that can do what they want, and it's hard to manage them, but you're a tough egg, and we love you. Amen. For the grace God's given you, we finally got a choir. Hallelujah. Or a choral team or a praise team. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when they started, it was beautiful. They all, everything. And some people were playing this part and some that part, but all those parts came together to create a symphonic harmony. Amen? Two of you on earth shall be in harmony, one with another. That's called spiritual agreement. It's not just agreeing. When I first read it, I thought, it's so easy. Let's all agree that God's going to give us a new building. Everybody comes and agrees on it. That's so simple to do that. It's being in harmony one with another. That's the tough challenge. Amen. Some people, if you could see them just before a service on the way to church. And then see them at church. We put on our Sunday morning face for church. You know, I've seen people driving up in a car and the kid's in the back seat. And you can see mama. She's had it. They're running late. And the kid's in the back seat acting up. And dad's fussing about something. And mama's upset. And the kid's acting up. And you know, you just see people driving up. And the mama all of a sudden, just, you know, she's just talking and talking. You see it. And then she goes. And then everybody gets out of the car, you know, and the kids go. And you don't ask what's wrong with the kid. You know what's wrong with the kid. Welcome to the real world. Got up this morning and he couldn't find his shirt. And then the kid went outside and got their white socks dirty, running in the grass. And the dog didn't get out in time, pooped on the rug. And then he stepped in it. And now the carpet of the car smells like it. We're on our way to church. We go, you know, and then you go in and we got a hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've even seen people like this, and the kids still acting, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And the kids still crying. Thank God for nurseries and children's church to help us deal with that. Covenant love. When Jesus showed it to Peter, it was so strong and so powerful, he realized if he let his emotions, what he felt when I betrayed him, rule him. If he didn't love me with a deeper love than what just the emotions can produce, he wouldn't want to be around me. And if he did, if I saw him face to face, he would chide me. He would chastise me. He would make me feel like an infinitesimal little piece of dirt because I promised him that I wouldn't deny him. And I swore with an oath. And when we think of using an oath or an oath, we're thinking primarily of a four-letter word to say emphatically something, to put that kind of emphasis. But when he said he swore with an oath, for a Hebrew to use God's name and swear an oath, it wasn't even supposed to be done. It was a sin, amen, to do something like that, to use it that way, to try to emphasize something. What Peter really did was not just use a little four-letter word to say emphatically, I never knew him. He swore by his God, I never knew that man. He swore with an oath, said, I never, by the God he knew and the God that he knew was real, he swore and said, I never knew him. He was so concerned that he not be taken by the... He saw Jesus taken as if he had no power, taken as a lamb dumb before his shears and not opening his mouth. And he said, if they can take him, they can take me, they can take any of us and do what they will. And I can't stand the thought of being treated like they're treating him right now. I don't know him. They said, your speech betrayeth you. You've got that accent that of those people from that area. And you are one of his. I've seen you. I'm almost sure I've seen you. I never knew him, I tell you. But you've got to be one of them. I saw you with him while he was teaching. You were right there beside of him. I swear by the God of heaven, I never knew him. That's worse than using the four-letter emphatic word. He's taking God's name in vain. He's not only taking his name in vain, he's swearing a lie and using before God Almighty, concerned about his own skin. And when they come in from fishing, catching nothing, there is a man after the resurrection. And you know what? If you want mystical stuff, if you want to see lights and smoke and anything else than to see the true character of Christ and to understand what covenant love is, the strength and power of it, there's a man on the bank. Oh, by the way, they all went and hid themselves. There wasn't one that stood up there and stood up for him. Can you say amen? Peter was the most vocal and visible, but they all did it. They scattered, hid themselves. There's a man on the bank, and these discouraged, distraught disciples are coming in, having caught nothing. They're tired, they're wore out, they're hungry, and there is a man standing on the bank after the resurrection. As they get closer, they see that there is a fire. Amen. That they can warm themselves by. And they see something else. They smell something. Fish. Somebody has caught fish and somebody is cooking fish. Again, if you want the mystical, you're going to have to follow somebody around besides Jesus Christ. The most practical application of God's love. What's he do when your feet are aching, dusty, and you're bone tired from walking miles to preach the gospel? What does Jesus do? Let me show you what I can do. Look at that fire on this bush, just flaming. Isn't that wonderful? Whoa, that's great, but my feet are killing me. Can you say amen? Amen. What does Jesus do? What are you after? Are you after the real love of God? Do you know how to communicate it? I've had people come with revelations that didn't give a hooty hoot whether anybody lived, died, went to heaven, went to hell, but they had a revelation. I've got a deep revelation. Well, the Bible said without love, it doesn't profit anything, though you have all knowledge to understand all mysteries. Oh, by the way, I've met tongue talkers that didn't love people either. They were real good. I wish they'd just keep speaking in tongues. It's when they quit and started tearing people up. Amen. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and I don't have love, I'm not spiritual. I don't represent this kingdom. It profits me nothing. It's sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. I'm so glad that Sean can play the drums. Because if somebody gets on them that can't play them, there's no harmony. It wouldn't work. Here's what tongues will do for you. Here's what sounding brass. It'll get people's attention, but it won't bless them. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? They'll all look at you, but it won't be a blessing. Yeah. Amen? Without love, it's just noise. Everybody say, what was that? Was that music? No, that was noise. After a while, it would grate on you and irritate you. We put such a premium on tongues. We think tongues denote spiritual maturity and character, and it doesn't. It is a gift of the Holy Ghost. You get character by growing in the love of Jesus and growing in God. And if you grow in God, you got to grow in love, because God is love. It's not how anointed you are. The anointing doesn't grow character. Amen. In Pentecostalism, we put a premium on power and the anointing. We need to put it on character, not charisma. Because without the character, and what is the first step in development of spiritual character, is the love of God. And without it, we're sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. We draw a lot of attention to ourselves. But we don't put the focus on Him. What changed Peter? Was it when the day of Pentecost, when he got that power? No. It's the day that he stood by a fire. When he walked up to that fire and those fish are cooking, Jesus is turning them. And he looks into the eyes of Jesus. Instead of seeing consternation, he sees unequivocal, undeniable love. How can he love me after I denied him and swore with an oath and sinned against God and sinned against him? How can he love me? The wonderful thing about covenant love is God doesn't condone anything wrong. But he can love us. He can keep loving us. The devil don't want you to get that. He wants you to believe, and some of you in here, I'm convinced, are real close at times to buying into Satan's lie. You fail God, so God can't love you, or he won't love you, or he don't love you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If there's any hope for you coming back to God, It's knowing that he will receive you and embrace you if you will. Not that he's going to reject you and shove you away. Can you say that? How many believe backsliders, God loves them and wants them back? He's married to them. You know why? You know why it said he's married to the backslider? That's covenant language. He said, listen, my commitment of my heart to you is in a covenant condition. When you love by covenant, it's not based on somebody's performance. It's based on your commitment to love them. Period. That's what's so wonderful about this thing. There's a message to the backslider. You can come home and be welcomed and embraced and restored. I don't deserve that. You bet you don't. That is what grace and mercy is all about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grace says, you do get what you don't deserve. Everybody say, grace says, you do get what you don't deserve. And mercy says, you don't get what you do deserve. You deserve judgment, but you don't get it. That's mercy. You don't deserve blessing, but you do get it. That's grace. Can you say amen? And the law came by Moses, but grace and mercy by Jesus Christ. God didn't want his religious commitment. He knew it would break down under pressure. Jesus wanted to come into a covenant of love with him. Christ says, I'm going to initiate this by loving you. When you don't even love yourself, he went out and wept bitterly. And had it not been for this kind of love, you'd have never heard any more of Simon Peter. He could have actually done what Judas did. But he didn't, because he was loved. He could have became an alcoholic. But he didn't, because he was loved. Did he threaten him with sinking his boat? Did he threaten him with physical illness or handicap? What did he do to get his heart? He loved him in spite of himself. And that kind of love melted his heart. Peter just had a meltdown in his heart. And he said, if you can love me with this kind of love after the way I treated you, and if God can forgive me after the way I've treated him, and if you still want me after all of this to be your servant, you can count on me to feed your sheep. And what he saw in Peter's heart was so strong, he told him, he said, when you were young, you girded yourself, you went where you pleased. But when you're old, others are going to gird you and take you where you would not go. But you will allow it, if you will permit it. Thus signifying the death by which he would glorify Christ, they're going to do to you what they did to me. And I can trust you to tell you that. And know you're not going to shy back from the suffering and the martyr's death. Because the love that is coming from your heart right now, the covenant kind of love, is so strong you won't quit me no matter what now. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? That's strong stuff. So this guy's outside of Paul's cell and he hears the singing from within. Held over, not knowing when or where he's going to die for the faith. But now he's in prison again. He's in the hands they think he's in the hands of men. Really, he's in the hands of God. And this guy's outside. He said, what is the secret of his joy in persecution? And one of the people interceding for Paul said, he's in love. He's in love. Hallelujah. And the inquirer said, is that all? And the person interceding for Paul said, that's everything. Amen. Can you say amen? That's everything. That's everything. Hallelujah. Covenant love is what God showed Peter through Jesus Christ. Covenant love. So Paul, understanding covenant language, said, if I deny him, it won't change him. Hallelujah. Oh, there's people that can change if you deny them. Can you say amen? There's people that will not forgive and they will not forget. There are people I know still telling things that have happened between us 30, literally 30 years ago. And they're still telling it. Something between me and them that happened 30 years ago. And it wasn't the end of the world. It was just a thing. And it was a thing that I asked forgiveness for. And obviously didn't get it yet. It's only been 30 years. They got to process it. 30 years. There's no covenant stuff around much. Amen? Amen? But then I look at people's prayer life. And I look at their life. And there's no deliverance. And there's no joy. And there's no hunger for God. You can't carry that junk and be healed and be healthy spiritually, physically, mentally, or otherwise. No desire to worship. No desire to praise God. Emptiness spiritually. You can't carry that stuff. I don't want to carry that stuff. We used to sing a song and it misrepresented. We're about ready for this communion. It misrepresented how God solicits our hearts. Paul said, if I deny him, he cannot deny himself. But here's covenant language. But remaineth faithful. Israel denied him. But every time they came back, they worshiped. What happened when they truly repented and came back? How did God react to them? Faithful. 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 Did they deserve it? No, they didn't. If you don't think there's grace in the Old Testament, read some of the stories. David did not deserve what God gave him after what he did sinfully. David was a scoundrel and a skunk. You lay with another man's wife while he's out fighting the battle, while you're sitting up in the palace with all these concubines, and you got to pick a married woman because of your lust, and you're the king, and you can get what you want. You wanted her, and you got her pregnant. And now he's in trouble, he thinks, for his reputation, so he tells the captains to send her husband home on leave so that he can have a relationship with her, and when the baby comes, nobody will be the wiser. Everybody say, what a skunk. The guy is so patriotic and he loves his comrades that are in battle. He said, how can I go in and have pleasure with my wife when they're fighting and dying on the battlefield? I love my God, my king, and my country. I need to be standing there with them as their comrade. And they come and tell David he won't go inside. And David said, well, take him into the midst of the battle, and when the battle is in the heat of battle, withdraw thyself from him. Well, you might as well take a knife and cut his throat. They're going to chop him to ribbons. Everybody say, what a skunk. What a scoundrel. Does he deserve what God is going to give him when he repents? No, he don't. That man is dead to cover up for his debauchery. So if you think grace just originated in the New Testament, just read the story of King David or ancient Israel. Can you say amen? They take him into the heat of battle. This man is fighting for God and country. The enemy is approaching. He turns around. And the men that he trusted, and the king that he trusted, these men have left him standing alone. And the enemy makes short work of him as they cut him, and stick him until he falls dead on the ground, bleeds out to cover up for a lazy old king's sin. David writes the great Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. When I held my peace, my bones waxed old with roaring all day long. When I didn't repent, I don't even go there and get started on it, but repentance is one of the most powerful things that can happen when it's necessary in our life. One of the most positive things that can happen. We get rid of the guilt and the shame, receive the grace and mercy and God's restoration. Can you say amen? You have never heard of King David again. He would have died a man with a terrible reputation if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy and the covenant love that provided it. And you would have never heard any more from Simon Peter. The last thing you would have heard, that he's a Christ denier. I heard the story and I broke down and cried in my car. Tears ran down my cheeks and my wife's cheeks. True story. A few years back in China, when they were persecuting, I guess in the days of Watchman Nee and others, they were persecuting and killing people for preaching Christ in China. And it started again. They fear the gospel of Jesus Christ in China. And this one particular man under torture for preaching the gospel, a Chinese preacher, he recanted and said, I will not preach Jesus anymore. And I will not ascribe to him Savior anymore. Please stop the pain. Please stop the beatings. And they turned him loose. And when they turned him loose, he ran down the street crying. This not too many years ago. Crying. I, like Peter, have denied my Lord. In Mandarin Chinese, he kept crying it, walking down the street from the jail cell. I, like Peter, have denied my Lord. I, like Peter, have denied my Lord. I, like Peter, have denied my Lord. And he fell and asked God's forgiveness and got up and preached Jesus and him crucified. And they arrested him put him back in jail. But when he went back to jail, didn't matter what they did. Covenant love changed his heart to where the pain of denying the Lord would be stronger than any pain they could inflict on him. The church needs something more than trinkets to get people to follow Jesus. The promise of the high life is not why they followed him. The promise of silver and gold is not why they sold all. Amen. It was a kingdom, an irresistible kingdom of love. Hallelujah, with something so pure and powerful. There's nothing in the universe that compares with a God who says, I'm going to love you enough to die for you, to find a way to come to this earth and die for you. If they had been motivated by silver and gold like so many are being motivated today to follow Jesus, and the persecutions hit them like it did, they would have bailed out. And I guarantee you, if persecution comes to America like it is in China, and like it is in North Korea, South Korea, like it is in the Muslim countries, is if it ever hits America like that, a lot of mega churches today, amen, are going to dwindle immediately. When they find out what's in it for me is a cross, what's in it for me is a jail cell, what's in it for me is a whipping post, amen. You'll find people that really don't love Jesus. Can you say amen? I believe we need to preach a Jesus that's worth suffering for. I pray we never have to. But is he worth it? Yes, he is. Does he deserve some less commitment than Paul had? No. Hallelujah. Is he worth giving up your flaky friends for? Yes, he is. Is he worth giving up pornography for? Yes, he is. Is he worth giving up alcohol addiction? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Because nobody can love you like that. I tell thee what I told ancient Israel of old. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, saith the Lord. I set my love upon thee. And though I scattered them to the nations of the world, I promised to bring them back and establish them. And you're seeing in your day the strength of my covenant love, saith God. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 The Ethiopian Jews are coming out of Ethiopia. The Russian Jews out of Russia. The Polish ones out of Poland. Shandarabakisa, the iron curtain has been ripped. Mushalabakisa, the bamboo curtain could not hold back the gospel of Jesus Christ. Handamashiliandara. This thing is just about over. We need a faith that is love-based, not self-based. Can you say amen? Moshalabakisala. We need enough faith, amen, to lay down our life for Jesus, not just see what we can get from him. We've already got from him. Can you say amen? And that's what we're getting ready to commemorate and celebrate. It's what we've already received. What's in it for you? Love like this. Eternal life with God forever. Every sin forgiven. Praise God. And as a byproduct, we can get our bodies healed. We can get, amen, help for our finances, help in our life. But that's not the primary stuff. The big stuff is we can go home from this meeting and know that our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus, and that mercy and grace has been granted us by Jesus Christ, and the past is past. Hallelujah. And everything awaits us. And when death comes, when death comes, out of the body will bring us into the presence of God forever. Can you say amen? Age without end. That's what we're in this thing for today. Hallelujah. It's time to receive Holy Communion. Covenant love changed Peter from top to bottom, inside out. Historians tell us that wrote during those biblical times, that they came to take Peter to a cross for crucifixion. And Peter said, I am not even worthy to be crucified like my Lord, to be that identified with him. This is this one who denied him so vividly, vocally, visibly. He said, invert my cross. I'm not worthy to be killed in the same manner he was. Just turn mine upside down and let me hang inverted. Not like him. I'm not like him. I don't even deserve the same death that he died. Peter, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep because you love me. If God ever gets back in his church and the cross ever gets in its rightful place and people quit serving God for the Mercedes, and serving for the kingdom. And understand what we have. It's a treasure hid in a field. When a man finds it, he sells all that he has, that he might possess it. It's that precious. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Sister, would you serve us Holy Communion? Would you play number one? You are living in the day when the love of many is waxing cold. When love waxes cold, there has to be another reason to follow me. Another reason to serve me. Some immediate self-gratifying reason. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you're here today and you claim Christ, and you're still asking, what's in it for me? You have no idea what God has given you in the person of Jesus Christ. What if I told you what's in it for you is to lose your job and be put in jail and to be beat up about twice a day? Would he be worth it? Would the kingdom be worth it? We've got a brand of Christianity in America that's earthbound. Promise an immediate gratification for your flesh for serving this one that deserves a heart commitment and nothing less. We stimulate giving by the promise of riches beyond your wildest dreams, not with a cross where Jesus died, and not with lost souls that are dying without God. And we've got preachers that don't weep for the lost. And we lap it up every Sunday. And America's under economic judgment. And as we pray for our president, no president can pull us out of a judgment from God. I believe the church needs a revival of commitment to Christ. Amen? For who he is and what he has already done at the cross. And I believe if we'll do it just like Sean gave the testimony, if we'll make the heart commitment, God doesn't want you to hurt. He wants you blessed. Amen? I believe he'll make a way some way if you'll make the commitment. Don't you believe that today? Amen. Let's love him in Holy Communion today, number one. Hallelujah.